That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lefondre looking to get close side of Font. Lefondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls preview podcast supported by Phantom Brewco. Well, we'll be talking about the Watford match that is coming up this Saturday, but I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle to have a chat about it. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, good, thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm okay. It was unsurprisingly quite a dull closure to the window, but there was one signing.
Yep, thank you very much for leaving me to try and pronounce it. the Chelsea bloke, I think we'll call him for Cassidy. I mean, we spoke to him today and he did say his name. However, he spoke very fast in Italian, so might have missed it. But I think it's Cassidy. Very young, looks really young. Like, looks young as well as being young. But yeah, it should be an exciting player, very well thought of at Chelsea, and you know, see how he fares.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, not necessarily a signing that fits the mould of previous Paul Ince and Mark Bone signings, but we're not going to delve into that one too deeply. But we look at what his position is. He can, you know, good in centre midfield. We're desperate for that kind of player who can like box to box and link the play and maybe score. He's got a prolific record at youth level, but as we all know, the step up to the Championship is a whole different world.
Yeah. Paul Ince did say today that he's sort of hoping to play him in more sort of an advanced sort of 10 role, while he himself said he can play 6, 8 or 10. So, I mean, he's a very competitive sort of all-action player. He was referred to as sort of a new Frank Lampard by the Chelsea boys. So excited to see whether he can be the next Nathaniel Chalobah.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I mean, that was a name I wasn't expecting right there. I mean, this is going to sound terrible. No disrespect to Nathaniel Chalobah, but I'm guessing he's probably wanting to move on even more. His pedigree from the Italian team and from Inter is astonishingly good. The fee that he's gone for already, but Italy and Chelsea, it's a link of players that have either been incredibly successful or you just never hear of them again. Let's hope that he's the one that is actually really, really good. But it sounds like the actual issue for Reading getting players in, which was obvious to anyone who's watched us for the last 2 years and followed the embargo rules, we just couldn't get enough players out to get anyone in.
No, they made it pretty obvious they wanted two midfielders. He said today he was quite disappointed that they couldn't get anyone else over the line, but it was always going to be a struggle. There are a couple of players that they were working hard to get out of the first team squad. There were no real takers, and here we are. You know, we got 25 men, 18 games to go. Let's just get over to that 50-point mark and start planning for next year.
Yeah, totally. I guess that's what we have to aim for. I mean, it's a tough game on Saturday against Watford, but it's not one that we can't win. As shown, they have been beaten recently by Middlesbrough and by Swansea, teams that are probably better than us. But we beat them in the FA Cup. We can do it again, can't we, James?
We can do it. Hoping you're not going to ask me whether we will do it. But there's no reason why we can't with our home record. It's obviously going to be a much, much different looking Watford team to the one that we played in the FA Cup with some of their injuries coming back and obviously less of the kids playing. But, you know, Reading shouldn't fear anybody at home. Second best home record in the division. They could do with a win after the last few weeks. So hopefully that's nick an early goal and don't sit back like they did against QPR, learn from their mistakes and go and try and see the game out.
Yeah, Watford got the seventh best away record as well. So it's not going to be easy at all. But I mean, Watford have been hit by so many injuries, but I'm not going to get into that because we're going to be having someone from the Voices of the Vic podcast talking about all of that and their terrible situation with their parachute payments, I'm sure, and how tough that is, James. But, you know, tears are running down my face as I'm speaking about it. I'm getting a little violent now. But just looking at Reading and kind of like what we've got for the rest of the season now. Now we know where we are. Is staying up going to be just enough? For me, it is. But do you think expectations from the fans are going to be a little bit more than that? They want to see maybe not so defensive.
Yeah, I think the expectations are still to stay up. Obviously, we'd like to stay up more comfortably now with the start we've made. But, you know, it's a championship. And as Paul Wint said today, you know, everybody else pretty much has strengthened and we've stood still in this window. So, you know, every game is going to be tough. There's going to be different challenges to face. The start is an interesting point. Obviously, you know, it's not a good eye, good brand to watch on the eye necessarily very often under Paul Wint. But I think this year is pretty much a free hit and a free pass to, by hook or by crook, get the wind and get over the line. And then obviously the summer and next year, in theory, hopefully, he'll have a bit of money, you know, and a bit more time to build the squad he wants and go back to this 4-3-3 that he keeps prophesizing about as to how he played with his old teams and start to score a few more goals.
Yeah, I guess if he's still here in the summer, because you never know in football what's going to happen, it's absolutely impossible to predict. Yeah. That would be like, I mean, I think this concerns some of our fans. And I can see it. I can understand it. Is will Paul Ince be the right person to take us forward in that window? My thoughts would be is that he's taken us to a better position than when he arrived considerably. And if he does keep us up, I can't see any reason to get rid of him, to be honest. So he would deserve the summer.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. If he keeps us up, then he's done the job that he was asked to do when he came in. And therefore, you can't get rid of someone for doing their job. You know, he's had the worst hand that probably any manager has been dealt with in the Medeski era, and he's still managed to, you know, with any luck this year, he could end up finishing higher than we have done for quite a while. I mean, obviously, we came 14th under Mark Bowen. I'd say that's probably about the sort of area where we should be aiming for now. I don't think we should be finishing any lower than 18th, and I'd be very disappointed. But Steve Clark took us to 17th, Adkins and Clark and McDermott and Stam took us to, what, 19th and 20th and 21st. So if he gets above that with less resources, then why shouldn't he be given the summer?
Yeah, totally. And I think he's also made a massive difference off the pitch, which I'm sure will come out at some point over the years and we'll find out more about all these different things that have changed since he's been there. But let's get back to the game on Saturday. And yeah, James, I'm going to ask you that dreaded question that you tried to avoid. You did a pivot, as Matt Hancock says. You tried to push it away from where it was. How do you think he's going to go on Saturday against the mighty Hornets? And they're not mighty in any way.
More mighty than a wasp or a bee, though. So
yeah, you wouldn't want to be stung by a hornet, would you? No. No, that is true. Yeah, good point. Dion, rub my beard all over your body.
No, I'm not too confident. I don't know. I just think we seem to be in a bit of a mini rut at the minute. I'm going to go 3-1, which will be disappointing. But, you know, they're a much stronger team and we've got games coming up whereby we should be picking up our points. You know, Rotherham, so it's next Tuesday, Valentine's Day. Can't think of anything better than spending Valentine's Day watching Reading versus Rotherham at the Medeski Stadium. Away to Cardiff 3 days later. You know, they're another team down in the sort of bottom four, bottom five. So they're the games we need to be targeting. But, you know, they could always surprise us with a home record. They can pull out a result from somewhere.
Yeah, I just want to touch on the Valentine's thing, actually. If there's anyone out there just starting dating and you think there's someone in your life, male, female, whatever it is, and you want a first date, Reading versus Rotherham, get them down there. You know, it can be go cheaper one than way or the other. It could be love forever or it could be it can't get any worse than this. I think Saturday is going to be tough. They obviously have got some quality players still, despite all the injuries. I'm feeling a little bit optimistic. I've been more optimistic about this game than others. But then I said that one before we went to Stoke and we got hammered 4-0. So really, it's pointless. So I'm going to say 1-1. And yeah, I think we will get a draw because I don't think Watford, they're erratic. So we don't know how that one's going to go. So thanks a lot, James, yet again. And if you're listening to the podcast for the Watford bit, they will be up in a second with Matt Lansley, with Mike from the Voices from the Vic. So thanks for listening and hope you enjoy the next part.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the second part of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. We are now flipping over to take a bit of a preview, really, for the game on Saturday. We've got a brilliant guest from the Voices of the Vic podcast. We've got Mike on to preview Watford. How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on again. Last time we spoke, it was before we won 2-0. You have beat us since in the FA Cup. And yeah, I'm never quite confident going to the Medeski. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what this weekend produces, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, when we last played, I mean, I've just done a piece with your guys. It was a top six clash when we last played you guys. Not quite the same now. It's a bit kind of mid-table for us. It's probably a game that Watford are probably looking at and probably thinking these are the kind of games that, you know, you need to be picking up for a playoff push. But kind of, how's the last few games gone for you? Obviously, it's been a bit topsy-turvy, I think. I think it's 2 wins in 6 in the league for you guys. A couple of draws smattered in there as well to teams like Rotherham. Kind of, how's it going on the Watford front?
Frustratingly, it's inconsistency. It's killing us. You know, you can't be, you know, anytime we come down, we're always one of the teams that are, you know, sort of looked at to go straight back up, as I'm sure that would have happened with Reading in previous years as well. So you guys will know full well how it feels to have that pressure on you as well. And it's just been too inconsistent. I look at our so it was a little bit different, but you know, the consistency was there last time round, and it's just been frustrating. I said to you on my podcast, we've dropped too many points against teams that I don't want to sound disrespectful, but we shouldn't be dropping points to. This season we've picked up 2 points against Rotherham. We've not picked up any points against Swansea in the 2 games. You know, Blackpool, we've only picked up 3 points against them. They battered us at Bloomfield Road. So it's frustrating. You know, we might go and get a win one game and think, okay, yeah, we look good. And then the next game, it'll just throw it all away and we'll look crap again. And you sort of question what's going on. Obviously, the injury front doesn't help, but it is so frustrating this season, because we cannot seem to string a decent run of results together. I mean, how we're up there, when you look at that and when you think of that, it's quite simply astonishing. It might highlight the lack of quality in the league, other than the top two, obviously. But it's been an infuriating season, to say the least.
I can sense that infuriation with your little summary there. kind of looking at it from the outside. I mean, you always look at the relegated Premier League teams as, you know, the ones that, you know, you expect to go straight back up. But I mean, one thing you touched upon there, which has kind of been a real thorn in the side of Watford all through the season, or certainly of late anyway, is the injuries. When we played you in the cup, I think it was about 16 or 15 odd injuries. You know, you had so many injuries. You had a club statement on the injury situation, which isn't, you don't see every day. But kind of, I think you've still got Pedro out, which, I mean, will be good news for Reading fans. Someone who would be known to Reading fans as well, Tom Dele-Bashiru. How's it looking on the injury front, though, as well, for you guys?
Not great. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's some sort of curse on the club or what. It's the hamstring injuries recently have absolutely killed us. I mean, at one stage, I think the injury list was up to 18 people. 18. And we're not talking like reserves or youth player. We're talking first team players. You know, you said there, no Tom Delibashiru, no Tom Cleverley, no Dan Gosling, João Pedro, Imran Lusa, Samuel Kalou, Edo Kayembe.
Big players.
Pekun has only just come back, you know, from injury as well. And it's tough when you dealt with that. You know, we've brought a few reinforcements through the door in January, so hopefully that will help bolster the squad depth a little bit, but it doesn't help at all. And, you know, the players that we're missing are key. João Pedro, not having João Pedro. You know, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Watford fan, but I think he's the best player in the league. And, you know, to be missing someone like that, sometimes, you know, having like Pedro in your squad can win your games on its own. So it's a massive blow. And, you know, the only hope that we have is when these all start to come back. We were told yesterday by our local journalist that Pedro and Lusa are actually on the grass training again. So when these players all come back, we're gonna have one hell of a squad, and that might just be enough to make that final push for the playoffs and, you know, go on a bit of a run, as Reading fans know all about. You know, you went on that run when you was outside the playoffs and ended up winning the playoffs. So it's all about momentum and timing it right. And if we can sort of time it with these players coming back, who knows, you know, we may just get lucky, because the playoffs, as we all know, is an absolute lottery.
Yeah. And we didn't actually win the playoffs that season. That was the season we won the championship. Never won the playoffs. No, we only have bad memories of playoffs. So yeah, that they're memories we don't want to remember, really, playoffs. I think we've been in 8 or 9 of them, with 4, I think, finals, won none of them. It's not a happy hunting ground, not a happy hunting ground. But no, it's kind of, I mean, you mentioned it, the tightness of the league. All you need is a few results. And I mean, I'm sure once those players come back, you know, it's probably, like I say, a bit music to Reading's ears that, you know, the likes of Pedro and that are out injured, because I mean, I probably agree with you on, you know, the quality of player he is. I mean, I think he scored in the return or the previous fixture, I think, for you guys as well, you know. And I mean, he's a player that he can score from anywhere. He can score from 6 yards. He can score from the edge of the box. He can score penalties. You know, he's got tricks in him, bit of pace. You know, he's what you want as a championship striker, right?
Yeah, he got both goals in the 2-0 win at Vicarage Road. And I think he injured Lumley as well that game. He stepped on his
Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Bazanis
yeah,
came on.
Yeah, Lumley had to come off. Yeah, but yeah, he's absolutely quality. I remember when he come in, you know, sort of saw him the season we went down in 1920 season. That next season, the championship in the lockdown, he put on, I can't remember how many kilo he put on, but it was all muscle, obviously. And it's not like when I put on kilograms, I don't get applauded for it, unfortunately. But he did it in the right way. And you could tell that he was sort of getting ready for the physical battle of the championship. And he did brilliantly. And then Premier League football last season, we don't want to talk about that, because that was probably one of the worst seasons of football I've ever seen in my years of supporting Watford. And I've been watching us now for 20-odd years. So, and then this season, he's hit the ground running. You know, I can't remember what game. I think it was the Middlesbrough game at home. We won 2-1. And Saar and Bio scored, and João Pedro didn't score, but he literally did everything that game other than put the ball in the back of the net. It was like he was on a different level to all the other players. The stuff that he was doing was quite honestly remarkable. And you sort of, you just sit back and take it in, because you don't get many players like that at your club. You know, obviously Newcastle come in for him. Luckily, we managed to tie him down to a new contract. He didn't go. I would imagine there was some sort of agreement in there that if anyone was to come in again, or there might have been a release clause inserted. I don't know the full ins and outs. But to tie him down to a long contract as well was brilliant. And I firmly believe he enjoys it at Watford. You know, he made such a close connection with Aurelio Gomes, who obviously a bit of a legend in Brazil as well. You know, Richarlison come from Fluminense to Watford. We've had a guy who's come through recently, Matheus Martins, Fluminense, same club as Pedro and Richarlison. So, you know, high hopes for him as well. But Pedro is different gravy. One of the most talented I've seen in a Watford shirt in my Watford supporting years.
Yeah. So big miss at the weekend that, you know, you guys be missing him. Who'll probably be coming in for him? Yeah. Who's probably the player coming in? Would it be Davis or?
Yeah. I would imagine Davis will play. He may well go with two up top, Davis and Arohu, who's coming from Benfica. You know, brilliant signing for us. You could tell we only saw him for a few minutes against Middlesbrough, but in those few minutes, you could tell he's a real exciting player and someone that just wants to get on the ball and, you know, real trickery, fast feet, everything you want for a striker. Davies didn't do much against Middlesbrough. I mean, when he first came in, I wasn't expecting him to be your man to get you 10, 15 goals a season. He will, you know, chip in with the odd few, but ultimately he will be there. He's your target man. He'll play in your wingers, your number 10. He will look to distribute the ball more than score, which is a bit crazy when you're talking about a striker. But yeah, I think he will go with, I hope he goes with Arohu, but I think there could be a system where Davies and Arohu could both play together.
Is Arohu then, is he a bit of a nimble number 10? Does he like to play with flick-ons? Because obviously with Keenan Davis, with, you know, big, powerful, strong, you know, he's going to be a handful. He's going to win flick-ons, etc. Is he kind of the player that could well thrive off a Davis next to him?
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, we only signed him it was in time for last week's game against Middlesbrough. So it's hard to say because I think he come on and Davies was already off. So how those two work together remains to be seen for us. But I think definitely he could benefit from that. You know, to talk about Arohu for a minute, he come in from Benfica and Benfica fans were in the comments, you know, saying look after him and everything. And, you know, there was even, you know, Benfica fans that were sort of disappointed that he didn't stay at the club and, you know, try and make a break for that sort of role position that as a striker. And listen, everyone gets, you know, a player through on loan who's exciting and is tipped for big things, but they genuinely believe that this guy will be the new number nine for Portugal in years to come. So, you know, when you get a player through the door that's labelled like that, you just like, you've got to appreciate it and you've just got to sit back and be wowed. But I think he could definitely, you know, benefit from playing with a striker like Davies. Like you say, hustles and bustles, wins flick-ons, and Arohu could be that perfect man. A bit like we saw with Matty Vidra and Troy Deeney in the same respect of Deeney was your big man that would win it and scrap and do all the dirty work. And I know we spoke about Vidra on my podcast a minute ago. He's not fondly remembered his time in Berkshire.
Not but overly.
He was that nimble, fast man and would play on the last man and feed off Troy's scraps, and he would often, you know, one-on-ones, you'd bank him on scoring for us at least anyway. So yeah, hopefully Arohu and Davies can strike up a similar partnership.
Yeah. And I mean, whenever, like say, whenever you get a player in from a big club, it's always exciting. I mean, we've just signed, I think his name is Kassir Kazadi. I butchered his name. I know I have. I'm not going to try and pronounce it again, but an Italian from Chelsea. He's supposed to be quite good. Yeah, all of the Chelsea fans are tipping him as the next hot topic of Italian football. He's one of these wonder kids, you know, and I mean, every fan gets excited. I mean, he's not played any professional football yet. So, you know, I guess jury's out until you actually see him on the pitch on how good he is, how quickly he will adapt to championship football and if he can make that step. But it's always exciting, you know, as fans, you want to see signings like that. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he can obviously excite some Watford fans. Hopefully not this weekend, but every other weekend, but this weekend, hopefully he does well. So kind of obviously coming away from home as well. We've noted topsy-turvy form, but away from home, not done too badly. And obviously Reading, I think we sit I think it's sixth in the home table, with Watford sat seventh in the away table. It's one of those clashes where it's just like home against away form. Our overall form is probably slightly less. I mean, has there been an indifference for you guys away from home?
No, well, I found that out when we were recording my podcast with yourself not long ago. And it surprised me because every time I seem to remember us playing away, I mean, funnily enough, I was at the last away win against Norwich on the 2nd of Jan. But every time that I seem to remember us playing away, we've been poor. Like, I am much more confident if we're at home playing against anyone in the league than I am away. And that's been the case for a few seasons now. I mean, even the season that we got promoted in lockdown, our away form at one stage under I can't remember his name now, Vladimir Ivic, it was horrendous. Like, even the teams in the bottom three were, you know, scoring more away from home and picking up more points. We weren't great away from home. So it's been the problem for a couple of seasons now. But as you say, you know, we're seventh in the away form table. Again, does that maybe highlight the lack of quality in the league this season? Possibly. But, I don't know what to expect from this one. You know, it could very easily be one of those where we just cancel each other out and it's a draw. Whether it's a score draw, I don't know. But like I said to you on my podcast, and I mean this with no disrespect to Reading, we need to be coming to the Medeski and picking up 3 points. That is the bottom line. If we're serious about playoffs and we're serious about putting a run together, we need to be picking up points on Saturday. It is as simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, any team chasing playoffs, I think, you know, we'll be looking at that. And you look at, I mean, we discussed it, teams you've dropped points against anyway, Rotherham twice, I think you've dropped points against, Swansea you dropped points against. You know, it's like, I think Bilic should be getting you in for the team talk on Saturday. I'm sure you'd be able to roll them up for an afternoon at the Medeski. So, kind of just getting to a point where we'll probably wrap it up for this week. We've talked about obviously some players to look out for. If you're going to pick one player for Reading fans to keep an eye on this weekend, who are you picking?
I would probably pick Arohu, and that's quite brave of me to do so because I only saw him for 10 minutes against Middlesbrough, or it certainly felt like only 10 minutes. But like I say, in that limited amount of time, what I saw, I thought, wow, this guy's going to be good. Give him more minutes on the pitch and he will churn out chances. He will score goals. So I would probably say Arohu. It'd be quite interesting as well to see if our new central defender, Ryan Porteous from Hibernian, plays. Me personally, I would stick him centre-back with Craig Cathcart. Porteous, real shithouse on the pitch. He calls it pitch personality, which I think is great. You know, not afraid to get his head stuck in places. You know, put his head into challenges, dive into challenges, proper old school centre back from what we've heard from Hibernian fans. And we've spoken on our podcast to Hibernian podcasts as well. And, you know, all glowing reviews. So I would probably say those two, Arohu and Ryan Porteous, providing they play, obviously.
Yeah. And Arohu, I think number 21 for you guys. Squad number.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Number 21. So keep an eye out for him. He'll probably be playing up top. Reading defenders and Paul Ince, if you're listening, mark the shit out of him. He's a dangerous player. kind of wrapping it up then with a score prediction, Mike. I know we kind of went over this on your podcast, so I'm not sure if you're going to go for a different one. But what is your score prediction?
No, do you know what? I'm going to stick by my guns. I'm going to be ballsy. I'm going to say 2-1 to Watford. Like I said to you, I think it's one of these games where we need to pick up the points. And I know you boys are strong at home this season, and you'll probably be looking at us thinking, look, they're topsy-turvy, the form is, let's go out and get another win. Obviously, you'll have that added confidence of the win in the FA Cup game as well. So, but I just think that, you know, Bilic needs to deliver a few rockets after the performance against Middlesbrough. They completely outclassed us. Defensively, it was calamitous. And, yeah, I just think that, you know, we've had a week since that game, going to it fresh, new players, hopefully a few new players play as well. And yeah, I'm going to go 2-1, 2-1 Watford win.
Can't come on another podcast and predict a loss for your team. So I'm completely with you on that one. I mean, for me, I'm sticking with what I said, I think, on yours. As people know, I'm a bit of a pessimistic Reading fan at the moment. And I think a 1-1 draw. Yes, you know, I'm sure Reading fans, you know, no one likes to not win at home. Everyone loves winning at home. Of course they do. But yeah, I think a draw against a team fifth in the table, you know, when you sat 16th, I don't think would be a bad result personally. So yeah, give me a 1-1 or maybe an exciting 2-2. Just no last minute equalisers unless it's in Reading's favour, please. Because yeah, nobody likes them. So if you're on the other end of them. So we will wrap it up there for this week. Mike, thank you so much for joining us again. Obviously, it's a pleasure speaking to you first time around. Pleasure speaking to you guys again. Voice of the Vic podcast. Obviously, if you want to get a bit of Watford knowledge, go and give them a listen. Yeah, we will be back with a post-match podcast, obviously reviewing the Watford game. Hopefully 3 points. Fingers crossed we can get back to winning ways at the Medeski, but we will be back then with the usual gang reviewing that game. So have a wonderful game and we will catch you after it for the post-match preview.